Good evening for WBAI News in New York. I'm Linda Perry with some of the news for Monday, May 15th, 2017.
I want you to know that my administration is determined, totally determined, to restore law and order and justice for all Americans, and we're going to do it quickly.
Donald Trump was welcomed by the Fraternal Order of Police as a strong supporter and partner of the nation's law enforcement officers at a National Peace Officers Memorial Service outside the Capitol today as part of Police Week.
And that is why I'm so proud to be here today with Attorney General Jeff Sessions and Homeland Security Director John Kelly, two men who are deeply committed to the rule of law, to the rank-and-file officers who enforce it, and to bringing the violent criminals, drug dealers, and gang members to justice, and I mean bring them to justice quickly.
Trump says America stands strong with our officers in blue, who create a thin blue line between civilization and chaos.
And it is our duty as a people and as a nation to prove worthy of their sacrifice. And that begins with showing our police the appreciation they have earned 1,000 times over. Living in New York, I gained a deep appreciation and lasting admiration for law enforcement. Thousands of people are living and enjoying life today in New York who otherwise would be gone because our great police fought to bring safety to our streets and our communities.
It is his duty as president, says Trump, to keep America safe from crime, safe from terrorism, and safe from all enemies, foreign and domestic, and to ensure law enforcement personnel are given tools and resources they need to do their jobs and come home to their families safely. He says attacks on police are a stain on the fabric of society.
As you all know, much too well, we are living through an era in which our police have been subject to unfair defamation and vilification, and even, really, I mean, you see what's going on. You see what's going on. Even worse, hostility and violence. More officers were slain last year in ambushes than in any year in more than two decades, including, and that's so incredible to even have to be speaking about this, the beloved officers killed in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, in yet another murderous attack of law enforcement. And we have some of those incredible families and survivors with us. Thank you. The attacks on our police are a stain on the very fabric of our society, and you are entitled to leadership at the highest level that will draw a bright line in the sand, not a red line in the sand that isn't gone over, but a bright line in the sand, and we will protect you, that I can tell you, and we will say enough is enough.
And while there is the horror and sadness of officers' deaths, there is also the sadness and horror of civilians killed by police so far this year. According to data kept by the Washington Post, 354 people have been shot and killed by police in 2017. Mental illness played a role in one of five incidents. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is asking the Justice Department to develop strategies to prevent and prosecute violent crimes against law enforcement. In other news, Trump administration Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao, she's married to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. Today she said in consultation with stakeholders, a new infrastructure plan will be out in a few weeks. It's a plan which slashes regulations and it calls for taxpayer money to generate private investment funding. Chao.
As OMB Director Mulvaney recently announced, the new infrastructure plan will include $200 billion in direct federal funds. These funds will be used to leverage $1 trillion in infrastructure investments over the next 10 years. And OMB is identifying offsets in order to avoid saddling future generations with more debt.
But there is concern that Trump's plan will try to spur private investment by reducing regulations such as environmental reviews and community consultations on projects, rather than providing more government money.
Investors had told us again and again that there is ample capital available, waiting to invest in infrastructure. A major problem is the delays caused by government permitting and approval processes, which hold up projects for years, even decades. These delays increase the cost and increase the risk, adding, again, uncertainty and billions of dollars to the projects. And that's why another key part of this administration's infrastructure plan will include common sense, regulatory, administrative, organizational, and policy changes to speed project delivery and reduce uncertainty.
Trump's pledge to spend $1 trillion on infrastructure over 10 years was a top campaign promise, but received little attention because health care and tax reform have been the big legislative priorities, and the administration's attention has been taken up with distractions over investigations into Russian meddling in the presidential election, the firing of James Comey as FBI director, as well as struggles implementing Trump's immigration agenda, with arguments currently underway over whether to reinstate the travel ban. Already, the Trump administration has slashed regulations, and Trump said, "We don't need 75% of the repetitive, horrible regulations that hurt companies, hurt jobs."
We've already issued an order which says that for every one new regulation, two old regulations must be eliminated. So that in itself is going to be tremendous, but what we're doing is much more than even that. Every regulation should have to pass a simple test. Does it make life better or safer for American workers or consumers? If the answer is no, we will be getting rid of it and getting rid of it quickly. We will stop punishing companies for doing business in the United States. It's going to be absolutely just the opposite. They're going to be incentivized for doing business in the United States. We're working very hard to roll back the regulatory burden so that coal miners, factory workers, small business owners, and so many others can grow their businesses and thrive. We cannot allow government to be an obstacle to government opportunity.
Donald Trump signing an executive order in late February to create a regulatory reform task force in each federal agency to slash regulations.
Should I give this pen to Andrew? Dow Chemical. I think maybe, right?
Dow Chemical, infamous for its wartime inventions like napalm and Agent Orange, and also for glyphosate. It's the key ingredient of widely used herbicides. They've been added to the World Health Organization list of cancer-causing ingredients. And you're listening to the news on listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio. This is WBAI in New York at 99.5 FM, streaming at WBAI.org. And just a note, I'm not going to apologize because our news is not mainstream news, because it's not what is reiterated time and time again by the mainstream press. Our directive is to accurately present news as it happens, with an emphasis on peace and justice. That's what we aim to do. For this to be made possible, WBAI, listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio here in New York City, needs your support during our fundraising drive. And we are in the middle of our May drive, and we need your support. It's easier now than ever to support this listener-sponsored station. You can go to your smartphone, the one you're holding right now, go to your phone and text 41444 41444 and type in WBAI and give us whatever you can, $5, $10, $20, or whatever you can afford. Or call our pledge line. It's at 516-620-3602, or online, go to give2, the number 2, WBAI.org. Again, your mobile device, you can go to 41444, text WBAI, and give us a donation of $5, $10, $20, whatever you can afford, and become a member of this listener-sponsored Peace and Justice radio station, WBAI in New York. And thank you. We're listening to Bob Dylan's Masters of War. Back in a moment.
From your masters of war. You that build the big guns. You that build the death planes. You that build all the bombs. You that hide behind walls. You that hide behind discs. I just don't want you to know I can read through your mask. You that never done nothing but build to destroy. You play with my world like it's your own little toy. You put a gun in my hand and you hide from my eyes. You turn and run, Father, when the fast bullets fly. Like Judas of old, you lie and deceive. A world of war can be won. You want me to believe, but I see through your eyes, and I see through your brain. Like I see through the water that runs down my drain. You've thrown the worst fear that can't ever be hurled. Fear to bring children into the world. Oh, threatening my baby.
A new exhibit opened recently at the Intrepid Museum on the Hudson. It's on drones. The museum says the exhibit displays a variety of drones, historical artifacts, model airplanes, and rare videos. It touts an immersion theater where visitors will experience dramatic images captured by the unique perspective of drones. Lady Gaga's drone dress, which she wore at the Super Bowl halftime show, is on display. But a project originally slotted to be included in the exhibit was scrapped. And activists outside the Intrepid say the drone exhibit doesn't show the entire picture. It doesn't show thousands murdered by missiles launched from American combat drones. The scrapped exhibit, coordinated by retired Navy Commander Leah Bolger, is a display of quilts. They commemorate those killed by U.S. drone attacks. Nick Mottern is a coordinator of knowndrones.com, KNOWDRONES.com. He's also a Navy veteran and member of Veterans for Peace.
Leah Bolger is a former president of Veterans for Peace. She's a retired Navy commander. And Leah originated something called the Drone Quilt Project. What she's done is to find the names of many people, children, women, men killed by drones, and organized a way for people around the country to make quilt squares for one of those people. And so far she's created 11 quilts. I mean, when I say created, she's brought together these squares from like each quilt has 36 squares. Brought it together, stitched it together, and then it made displays that travel around the country. And Leah was told by and invited by the museum here for the Intrepid to show her quilts at this drone exhibit. And that was back last summer, and they were very enthusiastic. And she said, well, I need to have editorial control over my explanation of this. And that was perfectly agreeable. But this spring, they told her that that was canceled, that it would not be welcome. And so we're here today to say that this is very wrong, that these quilts do very well emotionally and represent people who have been killed, who are as important as any other people in the world, and that these people, their voices from the dead should be heard, and in this exhibit that includes military drones.
According to Matern, Commander Bulger's quilt exhibit wasn't included because it's the military-industrial complex which backs the exhibit. It puts a good face on the use of weaponry.
Looking at the sponsorship of this exhibit, I see that there is a major lobbying organization for aerospace military contractors. This lobbying organization, AIAA, represents companies like Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, and for an example, with the drones, the Hellfire missile is made by Lockheed Martin. And the and Raytheon has also made Hellfire missiles. So this is very much a trade show in the sense that they would like to persuade the public of the benefits of these, of all kinds of drones. We're concerned only about the drones that kill people, and we believe and are working toward an international ban on the use of weaponized drones, armed drones. And so today, we're saying not only these quilts should be shown and the voices of the dead and the existence of the dead and the life of the dead should be acknowledged, but that the cause of this, weaponized drones, should be done away with. In the same way we've done away with, you're supposed to, poison gas, landmines, and that.
It's astounding that they would have an exhibit about the drones that would not talk about the controversy of the drones, that would not talk about the illegality in terms of international war of the drones.
Pacifist Carmen Trotta is with the Catholic Worker.
And that would not talk about the statistics, that would not talk about the way, who we are targeting. And the fact of the matter is that the numbers could be, the number of civilians killed is larger than the number of Al-Qaeda activists killed or terrorists killed. Since 9/11, we've been scratching poison ivory for 16 years. The United States is not beloved around the world. The Pakistanis don't love us. The Afghanis don't love our sacrifice. The Yemenis don't love us. We're bombing the hell out of Yemen right now with Saudi Arabia. We're starving Yemen to death. The United States has been on the warpath, and let's remember, we were told this. We were told this by Bush and Cheney. We were told that this war would last for generations. We ought not to forget. They knew what they were doing. They knew what they were looking forward to doing. We are destroying state entities. We are destroying states. We destroyed Iraq. We are looking at the possibility of destroying Yemen. We've destroyed a state like Somalia. We are destroying states. The horrifying effects that this has on the very people who use the drones, on the fact that it's moral injury for them. They suffer from what they've done. Their consciences suffer. They don't suffer physically. What do you think is motivating 20 veteran suicides every day in the United States? This has been going on for years now. I mean, it's all really very horrifying, and the general public can't follow the wars, doesn't follow the wars, doesn't know a thing. They barely listen to the propaganda. They just let it go by. And as long as they live in their own bubbles, as long as they live in the very wealthy bubble that is the United States, they really don't care. And we've really lost it, and there seem to be no figures. The fact that everything is business, that this is a business transaction for the Intrepid. I have to tell you, years ago, we came here and protested regularly at the Intrepid because the Intrepid had the most absurd propaganda that they would promote. They were promoting, this is in, you know, the early 2000s, their books were arguing for the justice of the war in Vietnam. They were selling those books. They had not recognized that the Vietnam War was a colonial enterprise on the part of the United States. I think they realized that what they were doing was so absurd and unbecoming that they changed. If you go into the Intrepid now, the books that they have on Vietnam are some of the best texts. It's not propaganda. They have a Vietnam exhibit that is very, very good. Very good. They have a Vietnam exhibit where they actually show you the picture of Lyndon Johnson when he's talking about the Gulf of Tonkin. And they you watch him do it as though he's on TV. And next to him, they say something like truth and lies. And they expose the fact that Lyndon Johnson was lying. And they tell you exactly what lies he told. Inside, it's part of their exhibit for Vietnam. It's a very good exhibit. So in many ways, they've cleaned up their act. But really, what they want people to do is go into the back where they have a sort of space age thing. They do, and so they have learned how to make money. And because drones are money, that's why the drones are here. And it's a business audience that's here. So the other way that they make money is they have kids come and sleep on the boat overnight. They go to a little camp. This is what it's like to be a soldier. This is really about money. It's, you know, so it used to be about bad propaganda, but at this point, the money is so great that they've gone back to bad propaganda. They're actually advertising for the drones. Drones are war crimes. You know, drones, torture, night raids. Who are the terrorists? Who are the terrorists?
Carmen Trotta helped organize the first march on Washington to oppose the war in Iraq. That was back in 2002. Admission to the Intrepid drone exhibit is steep. It costs anywhere from $24 for a 5-year-old child to $33 for an adult to gain entrance. While Barack Obama approved more than 500 drone strikes in his 2 terms in office, Donald Trump has increased this level of attack. Since taking office in January, Trump dramatically increased the attacks as part of the sharp expansion of U.S. air assault on a variety of nations, including Yemen. That's where famine threatens 7 million people. In an interview with Time magazine, Trump said he handed over decision-making about the drone attacks to his generals, and he gave CIA the Central Intelligence Agency new authority to conduct drone attacks against suspected militants. Critics of the targeted killing program question whether these strikes create more militants than they kill. They cite the spread of jihadist organizations and militant attacks throughout the world as evidence that targeted killings may be exacerbating the problem.
Bless America.
In other news, Chelsea Manning is about to regain her freedom. She's the whistleblower who released the collateral murder video, classified U.S. military video, which showed indiscriminate killings of over a dozen people in the Iraq suburb of New Baghdad, which included 2 Reuters reporters. Manning will have served a 7-year sentence for disclosing classified information that raised public awareness regarding the impact of war on innocent civilians. She is a transgender woman. She was serving an unprecedented 35-year sentence for whistleblowing. She was forced to serve her sentence in an all-male prison. She received a commutation from President Obama in one of his final acts in office in January. This after an outpouring of support for Manning from the public over her mistreatment in prison. In December of 2016, the ACLU and over a dozen LGBT groups sent a letter to Obama. They urged the commutation of Manning's sentence. More than 115,000 people signed a petition on the White House's We the People platform. It asked Obama to commute her sentence to time served. Chelsea Manning released this following statement. She says, "For the first time, I can see a future for myself as Chelsea. I can imagine surviving and living as the person who I am and can finally be in the outside world. Freedom used to be something I dreamed of, but never allowed myself to fully imagine. Now freedom is something I will again experience with friends and loved ones after nearly 7 years of bars and cement, of periods of solitary confinement, and of my health care and autonomy restricted, including through routinely forced haircuts. I am forever grateful to the people who kept me alive, she said, President Obama, my legal team, and countless supporters. Manning says, I watched the world change from inside prison walls and through the letters that I have received from veterans, trans young people, parents, politicians, and artists. My spirits were lifted in dark times, reading their support, sharing in their triumphs, and helping them through challenges of their own. I hope to take the lessons I have learned, the love I've been given, and the hope that I have to work towards making life better for others. The words of Chelsea Manning, who regains her freedom on May 17th. And that's the WBAI Evening News for Monday, May 15th, 2017. The news was produced with Akeem Killick and Reggie Johnson. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York. I won't be here tomorrow, but I will be back on Wednesday. So in the meantime, please support listener-sponsored WBAI in New York. Reggie will tell you how once again. Thank you.